Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Big 12 media days in the rearview mirror, so now we're all looking forward to the start of the college football season. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We always appreciate you being here, subscribing, YouTube, podcasts, and of course, always grateful to our radio affiliates. He is Andy Staples on three. He was there on the ground earlier this month for Big 12 media days, and Andy, let's just start here. You know, we had staffers there. I wasn't there, so I didn't get a chance to see you, but what is the vibe like at Big 12 Media Days compared to what you might see at, let's say, the SEC or Big 10 Media Days?
It's different because everyone has its own personality. And Big 12 is always the most chill with the best access, where you can just be walking around and there's Matt Campbell just standing there. And you can, you know, just talk to him for 5 minutes. And there's Sonny Dykes just chilling, waiting for a radio interview. And it's not like that. SEC is way more stage managed, especially since it's become a completely ESPN production. Back when it was kind of split CBS and ESPN televising the SEC, it was a little more laid back. And now it's very stage managed, made for TV. You're just not going to get that sort of access. Big Ten actually does have good access as well. Like, they'll put each coach at a podium and let people just ask questions for 30 minutes, and they'll put each player at a podium and you just ask questions for 30 minutes. And the coaches, a lot of times, will be wandering around and they're not completely booked for the entire day where they can't even breathe. But it's very interesting how each conference kind of has its own personality. And then ACC is sort of a mishmash of all of the above, where, you know, depending on the coach, you know, the Dabo Sweeneys of the world, you might not be able to get a minute or two with them because they're completely booked, but you can like Jake Dickert from Wake Forest, you're probably gonna get some time with him.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a couple months ago, I guess now, and about how wide open this Big 12 was going to be. What was something that was different than what you expected coming out of Big 12 media days based on what the storylines might be going into the season?
I don't know that I saw anything different. I mean, it's a wide open league with a bunch of good returning experienced quarterbacks. I think getting to actually talk to Devin Dampier from Utah and see Caden Salter and Julian Lewis come in for Colorado, like the people we didn't already know, I think that was the interesting part. And I already thought Utah was going to be pretty good, but then you spend 5 minutes around Devin Dampier and you're like, oh my God, they're going to win the league. But I don't know if they're going to, because obviously I think we can make a very compelling case for about half the league to win the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you think about the coaches in the Big 12, and obviously you saw them all at media days, was there one that stood out to you? I mean, you know them all, obviously. There's only two new guys, Rich Rod and Scott Frost. But was there someone that exceeded your expectations? And if so, who?
I mean, a lot of these guys I've known for a while. So it doesn't, I'm trying to think of who did I meet anybody that I hadn't met before? Not really. Deion Sanders did not come to our little on three room. All the other ones did. So I've not really gotten any one-on-one time with Coach Prime yet. So, but obviously I've been watching him since I was a kid. Yeah. The other coaches, I've dealt with pretty much all of them. And, you know, they are a good group. Like they're a really interesting group because they actually like each other quite a bit. Like, and it's strange because I know fans of rival schools want to hate the rival, but like Chris Klieman and Lance Leipold are not going to hate each other. Like there's a lot of mutual respect there. And obviously their backgrounds are really similar, but it is fun talking to one and then the other. And then you realize, okay, these guys are bitter rivals, their schools, but they are very similar in terms of coaching DNA. And I like that. And there's just some good dudes. Like Matt Campbell is a lot of fun to talk to because this is a guy who's had some opportunities to go places other than Iowa State, but he knows where he can be successful. He knows what he needs to be successful, and he knows what environment he's looking for. And I think he understands he's got a really good thing in Ames, and I appreciate that. And he'll tell you, like, I don't know that I'm made for some of these crazy jobs where they're expecting you to win the national title every year. He likes being able to recruit and develop players. And the thing is, the way it is now with the rev share, I think that gives people like Matt Campbell and Chris Klieman and Lance Leipold a lot better chance than they had before to be successful because they didn't have really a budget to speak of in terms of player, you know, NIL player retention. Now you're giving them some money. Like, I will take Matt Campbell with $12 million to spend on players or a lot of other coaches if you gave them $25 million to spend on players.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. And what about, you know, you probably have had these conversations privately with coaches, but if you're a Big 12 coach, you're Matt Campbell, you're Chris Klieman, you've got one of these jobs, you're going to make $4, 5, 6, 7 million a year. You know what the expectations are. You know where the bodies are buried. You don't have a fan base that's going to be on you if you don't win a national championship. At what point does lifestyle overcome the extra $2, 3, 4, 5 million a year when you're already making millions?
I think we're seeing a lot of coaches get to that point. I think we're seeing that more often now. And I remember talking to David Cutcliffe about this years ago. David Cutcliffe at the time was coaching Duke, and he had taken Duke to the ACC championship game, which is, I mean, that's an amazing feat. And so obviously other schools were looking around at him. And he's like, listen, I remember what it was like being Ole Miss's coach. I remember those crazy people running me off because I didn't have Eli Manning anymore. Like, why would I put myself through that again? Yeah. And I think other coaches have figured that out. Like, hey, I'm making good money. Kenny Dillingham's a great example here now. A lot of it is with Kenny, he's at home. Yeah. I think that makes a huge difference. This is a guy who grew up in Scottsdale. You know, he's coaching in Tempe. He's basically 5 miles from where he grew up and making good money. He just won the league, went to the playoff. I mean, they had a 4th-and-13. If they make a stop, they beat Texas. Like, why does he need to go anywhere else? And It's interesting because I think if Kenny wasn't from Scottsdale, we'd probably be like, oh, when's Kenny going to get the Auburn job or whatever? But you look at that situation, why would you? Yeah. Why would you change anything? You got a good thing.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely do. It's so true. Now, I know you and Ari were talking about this at Media Days this month, and you were trying to figure out how does the Big 12 develop, and maybe a blue blood is the wrong phrase, but those national title contenders that are consistent, that's what they need. And it's going to take, you know, 5, maybe 10 years to develop that. Who do you like? Who would your odds on favorite be for that?
Well, Texas Tech's trying to do it.
Yeah.
They're spending the money. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, though, because we talked to Cody Campbell on the show, and he's trying to do one thing when it comes to the governance of college sports, and another thing entirely when it comes to what he's doing funding Texas Tech. Now, if the rules don't fundamentally change, and if you can just keep spending, you have to keep doing it. Like, that's the thing that makes Ohio State, Ohio State, and Alabama, Alabama, Georgia, Georgia. They keep throwing money at the problem. Now, they're good at it. They have very good coaches. They're good evaluators. They're good developers. You have to do all of that stuff. Like, you could throw money at it and nothing can happen too. And that's the other part of it. And that's why it was very interesting talking to Joe McGuire, because he is very realistic about what this year means and what they're doing. This puts phenomenal pressure on Joe McGuire having this expensive a roster. And he knows that. He'd better win with it, or they will find someone else, because if they're going to invest like that, you better give them an ROI. And so that's sort of the flip side of what we were talking about. That is not the expectations are slightly lower, you're making good money. That is, they're paying for a bunch of good players. You had damn well better win.
Did you get a sense that Texas Tech is developing into that like hated team that doesn't really exist in the Big 12 right now, or is it just too early to tell?
Well, they have to win. Like, let's say they go run through the conference this year and they spend all this money and everybody's like, oh, they bought a conference title. Well, guess what? That's within the rules. So you guys should have been doing that too. But if they don't, let's say they fall flat on their faces and they don't even make the Big 12 title game, everybody's gonna be like, see, you can't just buy it. You gotta develop it. Well, it's both. If you want the national title, it's both. You have to buy the best players and then you have to develop them. Like, Kirby Smart isn't just good at picking five stars. If you put Kirby Smart at Austin Peay and told him, get the best Missouri Valley Conference team you can, he would do that. Like, he would out-evaluate all the other coaches at that level. But you've got to be able to do both. You've got to have the resources to spend the money, and then you've got to be able to evaluate and develop. And I think that's the big question, because you've got a bunch of great evaluator developers in the Big 12. Leipold, Kleiman, Campbell, they're fantastic at it. Kyle Whittingham. But then do you add that piece? And can Joey McGuire be? Because Joey McGuire, like, if you look at the recruiting history of Texas Tech, there's a lot of guys they're the first offer for, and they get down the road with them, and then they just get blown away by an Ohio State or a Texas coming in and swooping in and taking the guy they want. Now they have the money to potentially get those guys. And you look at the Felix Ojo commitment, they've got, you know, potentially, possibly might get a commit from the top player in the 27 class. He's from Savannah, Georgia. Like, he's not from Odessa. Like, they're going out and getting that. And so that's how you develop that. And I don't think it's just Texas Tech that can do that. I think BYU is in a unique position where they do have money. As we're seeing with Jake Retzlaff, it's not as easy with BYU because you do have to have people who want to deal with the honor code. And so if they're LDS, it certainly helps, like Ryder Lyons, the five-star QB. But they have the financial resources, and you see that on the basketball side with them taking AJ DeBanza, who's going to be the number one pick in the draft. So they're interesting. I think Utah is interesting too, because I think Utah is in a place where they are in a pocket of America that grows really good linemen. There aren't many places like that. Mm-hmm. There's the Deep South. Ohio does it pretty well. And then Metro Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And if they could somehow harness that, and it's hard because trenches are developmental positions. Like, you don't really pay top dollar unless it's somebody who can play right away in the situation they have right now, because there's no rookie salary scale. So you have to be somewhat careful. But that's one where if you could just home grow the line of scrimmage guys and import the skill guys, which are much easier, they're much easier to import than linemen. Like, I think Utah could be one of those teams too.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
That's a great point. Now, someone we haven't talked about yet, Mike Gundy, he seemed to have a new outlook on NIL, the way of the world. He's accepted the reality of college football. He even more or less alluded to the fact that he's hired SEC coaches on his staff because they basically know how to legally cheat.
That's what's funny. There's no cheating anymore.
I know, but
it's all within the rules. On our show, he was as blunt can be. And obviously, it's Mike Gundy, so you're kind of used to that.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, we just admit their employees collectively bargained with them. I was like, okay. This is stuff that everybody's been saying off the record, but to hear a coach say it on the record is something. But yeah, he said he realized 18 months ago, and if you want to do the math on this, that means he realized before spring practice 2024. That their strategy in the transfer portal had been wrong. Their strategy in the transfer portal was, we're not paying for any portal players. We're going to pay to retain guys on the roster. And I think people saw that and are like, well, they paid for Ollie Gordon. Well, yes, they did, because Ollie Gordon was on their roster. But they hadn't spent a penny, according to Mike Gundy, on anybody out of the transfer portal in the NIL era. That is not going to work in this day and age, especially when you lose as much as they have. And so, you know, you look at DeJuan Stribling was their best receiver last year. He's at Ole Miss now. Like, you have to replace those people, and you have to spend to replace those people. And so they did that this year. And that's where I do wonder how that works, because, you know, let's think of the history of Mike Gundy. When we expect things from Mike Gundy, it doesn't usually go very well. When we think they're going to stink, that's when they win 10 games. So this is one of those years. And when we talk about great evaluators, developers, Mike Gundy's one of the great evaluators. Like, what he's done at Oklahoma State in 20 years, it's not quite Bill Snyder level magic, but it's close. Like, think about what Oklahoma State was. I'm showing my age here, but Les Miles is the coach before Mike Gundy. He was doing pretty well there, but they still weren't an every year bowl team even. Like, that's how far they had to go. And last season was terrible, but if you look at what Mike Gundy's done relative to the history of that program, they've been incredible. So I am wondering, now that he's trying to play the same game as everybody else, do they get better pretty quickly? Because, again, he's a really good evaluator.
Now, speaking of coaches in the Big 12, I don't think there's like a burning hot seat. Maybe you feel differently, but Brent Brennan at Arizona stands out.
Yeah.
Scott Satterfield at Cincinnati are kind of the two that I think.
I think Gundy too. I mean,
yeah,
we still haven't gotten the number on what the new buyout is, or if the buyout changed. We know he did cut his salary, but they were at loggerheads for a minute last year, and I don't think Oklahoma State had the cash to fire him, but I think if it goes poorly this year, they might find it.
So would you put him atop of the list ahead of Satterfield and Brennan?
No, Brennan's the top of the list.
Yeah. Okay. And that's just because of how poorly last year went with Fafita and McMillan and all those guys back.
Yeah, no more T-Mac now. And there's been a talent drain. You bring Fafita back, but Brennan said they just couldn't protect him last year. And I thought, okay, it's good if Fafita is healthy, but you do have to protect him this year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that their personnel is better this year than last year.
That's a good point. Brett Yormark obviously opened up Media Days this month, and he was really adamant about not doing a 4-4-2-2 model for the college football playoff. We want 5 auto bids for the conference champs and 11 at-larges. You know, I mean, I get it. It seems like the SEC and the Big Ten are on different platforms as well, and they've got different stands.
Well, the SEC and the Big 12 are on the same
wavelength. They're on the same page, right?
But they weren't. Mm-hmm. So around conference meeting time in late May, and the SECs and the Big 12s were basically at the same time. They were simultaneous. The SEC was considering the auto bid situation. And in fact, the SEC athletic directors went into that meeting saying, hey, look, we know, Greg Sankey, you would like us to go to 9 conference games. In fact, some of the ADs had been pushing him to go to 9 conference games, and then they changed their minds after the playoff selection last year. But their thing was, okay, we'll go to 9 conference games if you say yes to this auto bid thing. The coaches in the SEC came in, and usually, honestly, the ADs and the presidents don't listen to the coaches at all. But the coaches came in and were like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? We could get more teams in if it's just an at-large situation. And so they actually talked everybody else into the idea of this 5-11 thing. The Big 12 was very adamant, and the ACC was very adamant all along that they wanted the 5-11. And it's interesting because I see criticism of that in some places where they say, but if you take the auto bids, you probably would get more teams into the playoff. Like if you're the Big 12, you're going to get 2 in every year. You don't know if you're going to get 2 in every year otherwise. You can't do it. You cannot do it. I think what Brett Yormark has done, what the AD and the ADs were adamant, you know, because I think Yormark was, he's new to all this still. And I think he was looking at all of it and taking it all in. And the AD said, you cannot do the auto bids. The coaches said, you cannot do the auto bids. And it's true. You can't willingly codify your own inferiority. You can't sign a piece of paper that says we are worth half as much as the Big Ten and the SEC. You can't do it. Even if it hurts you ultimately in terms of getting teams into the playoff, you can't say that because what are they going to take away next time? If they made you admit to this time, next time they may go, oh, okay, you only get 1 this time. So I like what Mark Carlin, the Utah AD, said back in May. Earn it. We don't mind earning it on the field. I think that's the perfect attitude.
And it seems like that's now where, I mean, do you think that's where this is all headed to a 5-11, or is the Big Ten kind of the outlier because they're a more top-heavy conference?
It's very interesting. The Big Ten still wants the auto bids, but I think Greg Sankey may be rope-a-doping them, or at least attempting to rope-a-dope them a little bit. Greg Sankey is the SEC commissioner. Everybody outside the SEC seems to think that everybody in the SEC wants to stay at 8 conference games. That's not true. Sankey wants them to go to 9 and has wanted them to go to 9 for a while. There are certain schools that have wanted to go to 9 because they want to sell more tickets because they want more variety in their home schedule. What some of them didn't like last year was they felt like, okay, the SEC 8-game schedule is hard and harder than most Big Ten 9-game schedules. Because I've asked people this as the Big Ten, because it's mostly the Big Ten folks that complain about this. I was like, okay, like Brett Bielema, which 8-game SEC schedule would you trade your 9-game Big Ten schedule for? The answer is Missouri. The other 15 you wouldn't touch. Like you wouldn't get near him. You would keep your 9-game Big Ten schedule. So that's where they're coming from on that. But Sankey and some of the other people are telling him, look, here's the thing. If we can make the committee consider the totality of the schedule, you can play 9 conference games. The Floridas and the South Carolinas who have to play the Florida States and the Clemsons and Georgia playing Georgia Tech and Kentucky playing Louisville, you can keep playing those games. If you want to schedule another hard game, you can. Because you look at like Florida's playing Miami and Florida State this year. South Carolina's playing Virginia Tech and Clemson. Like, so you can do that. And if everybody's doing something similar to that, it'll be great. They're just worried that the Big Ten schools are going to schedule 3 cream puffs and then play their 9, which a lot of them are doing. But I think now they've got it where if they can break the Big Ten on this thing and make the Big Ten say, well, we'll take 5-11 if you do a 9th conference game. Greg Sankey's be like, oh no. Oh no, we have to do 9 conference games. The thing I've been trying to do for years. Which will get us more money from ESPN, by the way.
Last thing in the next minute, Andy, should the Big 12 consider going dropping to 8?
If they want.
I mean, just to kind of and try to get more non-conference with the SEC, ACC.
Well, if the SEC goes to 9, they're not going to step in it. Yeah, they'll lose some slots. Yeah. So
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Be the Big 10 ACC challenge.
Yeah.
Hey, Colorado, Georgia Tech's going to be one of the awesome games of week 1. I'm pumped about that.
It is. It's going to be a pretty darn good non-conference across the Big 12, at least from what I've been looking at.
Baylor-Auburn, by the way.
Yes. Friday night,
week one. That's a banger.
That is good. And don't forget, week zero, Farmageddon week zero is going to be weird in Dublin. But
the greatest thing we've ever imported to another country.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to love us so much more after K-State and Iowa State. They're like, the Irish people are like, these are the best people in the world.
I know it. I don't know if there's any tariffs involved in that. We got to figure that out too with everything going on right now.
I think we're sending it over. Yeah, it was reciprocal. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully we still send them over there.
Oh, that's great. Andy Staples on three does a fantastic job. Andy, thank you for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Pete.
All right, there you go. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, the YouTube channel, and always appreciate our radio affiliates. Find us at heartlandcollegesports.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.